Well, our first speaker is George Cregan, who's president of the Cregan Company, which from what I've been able to figure out from the many things that the company seems to do, I listed here, there's manufacturing, retailing, television production, and George himself does writing and producing of television programs in addition to a lot of the merchandising activities of the company, and I think some of this is above and beyond what the company itself is doing, that it's in some ways a hobby mixed with the company. So
word amateur is appropriate.
So without further ado, here now is George Cregan.
Mike, I noticed a stork flying over the Holiday Inn. He was going toward Kentucky.
You're paying attention, Mike?
There was a stork.
He was singing, hello, Tucky.
Hello?
10 little fingers and 10 little toes. Well, that's Tennessee, sorry.
We want to thank everyone here for, of course, being here and some really charming camaraderie last night and this morning. It's a delight to be here at one of these things, Wilfred and Fred. Met these two gentlemen at the same time in Philadelphia, and from ever getting their names mixed up, but not what they do. Okay, that's right. And the other one has this cigar. One of my notes is to make sure I sit upwind of Fred Williams. Okay, so I've said that. I want to thank Phil Miller for giving us a raconteur program last night of his. That helps, sure. Of his reminiscences of seeing one of Lillian Russell's last performances. And actually performing one of her favorite songs, Philosophy, which sounded like a great party record to me, Phil. And I hope that's included in that party record discography that someone was rumored to be wanting to do last night. I enjoyed listening to Helen Roach just talk. And trading theatrical ghost stories with Peter Bergman. And I want to thank the classical librarian over here at BGU, Linda Fiddler, for giving me an early view of what's going on over there and how they're doing it so well. And I want to thank the Sonic Green Thumbers over here, who are helping our helping us make this presentation at all possible, technically. And I really enjoyed talking with Ray Weil on Other Than Edison Recordings. Didn't know he knew anything about other recordings. But obviously from that absolutely marvelous presentation, that's not so. He knows a lot about everything. Let's warm up the TV set here, and I'll give you a for what. You probably have to handle the volume on this up and down a little bit so I can talk over some of it. What we're going to see is visuals produced with the help of the New York Public Library Theater of the Performing Arts, Dorothy Sverdlov, who gave us entree to many of these things. This is just a little introduction of the TV programming, which we've aired several times on our local TV station, NBC outlet in Steubenville, WTOV-TV. Many of the visuals are being seen here for the first time. Certainly, they were seen on television for the first time. We're, of course, hearing that marvelous coloratura soprano, Sophie Tucker. Ted Lewis in the background with his distinguished instrumental work. That's the 1932 Ziegfeld Follies cast, Harry Richmond et al. Some of the others are still anonymous girls of the Follies. Richmond, Helen Morgan, Jack Pearl, and Ruth Etting. I'll have to ad-lib this.
Sweetheart coated happily for quite a while. Mid-simple life of country folk. The laddie told the girlie he must go away. And a little heart with grief most broke. She said, you know I love you, honey. I love you best of all. You darling, don't you go away.
Give a little amplitude to that if you want to. Sometimes.
Just as he went to go. It grieved the girlie so. These words he heard her say. Some of these days. You'll miss me, honey. Some of these days you're gonna be so lonely. You'll miss my hugging.
You're gonna miss my kisses. You're gonna miss me, honey, when I'm far away. That I feel so lonely for you only. Cause you know, honey, you've had your way. And when you see me...
Florence Ziegfeld was one of America's most important showmen, certainly in the area in which he lived. The American theater produced many such great showmen as Ziegfeld, Belasco, the Schuberts. And across the Ziegfeld stages, however, passed some of the most important and famous stars of the vaudeville era. Nora Bayes, Eddie Cantor, Fanny Bryce, Will Rogers, Sophie Tucker, whom we just heard, tenor John Steele, which remains today an enigma, and Burt Williams, just to name a few, of course. Many Ziegfeld musical comedies were memorable and made lasting contributions to the American theater. Sally, Whoopi, which Dick says is being revived in a Chicago theater, which that would be just wonderful to see that old movie again. The Three Musketeers, and of course, especially that immortal Showboat, which was on Broadway this past summer with Donald O'Connor. Not my idea of a great Captain Andy, but he certainly pulled it off. Let's present some highlights of the Ziegfeld era, made possible through some archaic recordings and some interesting visuals. The Parisian Model opened in the Broadway Theater on November 27th, 1906, starring Nana Held, Gertrude Hoffman, and the French musical comedy star Henri Léonin. Oh, we're okay. It probably reset a couple of feet. It's all right. In any case, in 1907, Henri Léonin recorded the one sole excerpt from Parisian Model I can trace. I Love You, Ma Cherie. It was done for Victor. Single side issue and only issue 5201. I'm sure some of you have heard Marie Chevalier. Okay. Marie Chevalier, you can see a lot of seminal information there that he might have picked up. Ziegfeld started his Follies in 1907 and was based on, of course, some of the Parisian musical reviews, like the Folies Bergères. And the Follies of 1908 featured Nora Bayes, who was born 1890, died 1928, and her husband, Jack Norworth. And they sang in that Follies the immortal Shine on Harvest Moon. Well, we'd like to think it was immortal, but the Victor, although they recorded it, never issued it. However, Bayes and Norworth wrote another song quite similar in 1911 called Turn Off Your Light, Mr. Moon Man, which Victor did record and release on 70038, the famous 70,000 Purple Label series, recorded in New York. Okay, good. I think we got that. Sorry to repeat a little bit of that. You may never hear it again, so I'm just sorry. Okay. Great Nora Bayes. Really a great contralto. Sounds
sounds like about the seventh or eighth take. Love this hat. Just love this hat.
Go and hide your face behind the glass.
Piece of sheet music we found. Got in tight. Promptly distorted the type. Somebody likes it. You hear some of these things, you walk away whistling and humming, and I think Pretty Girls Like a Melody is just imprinted right here somewhere in my brain. It keeps coming back in odd time. I've heard this so often, I can almost see them choreograph this thing in the on the stage. On which I've stood at the New Amsterdam in New York, even though it's complete shambles, it's a real treat to get a feeling of this magical theater and the ambience of it. Sorry, they're quick cuts. Florence Ziegfeld discovered Sophie Tucker. I'm not quite sure how to interpret that. But he put her into his 1909 Ziegfeld Follies, and she got such tremendous response in the tryouts that the prima donna Nora Bays, whom we've just met, forced Ziegfeld to cut her three songs to one. But Sophie still stole the show, and it was such a big success that indefatigable seeker of obscure talent, Thomas Edison, recorded on a 2-minute wax cylinder in May 1910, number 10260. Sophie Tucker's That Lovin' Rag. Mercifully, we fade to some of these days, which we heard.
Some of these days, you're gonna be so lonely.
This is Sophie Tucker's photographs directly from her scrapbook. This one is a 1910 photograph in her wedding dress, which was worn in the Follies. This is a later.
Are you lonely? Cause you know, honey, you've had your way.
This is the famous publicity shot that was used in most of her nightclub appearances. Taken 40 years before she made those appearances.
Some of these days, two sweethearts courted happily for quite a while, mid simple life of country folk. The laddie told the girlie he must go away.
Some people call her the female El Jolson.
She said, you know I love you, honey. I love you best of all. You darling, don't you go away. Just as he went to go, it grieved the girlie so. These words he heard her say. Some of these days, you'll miss me, honey. You're gonna be so lonely.
Scott.
You'll miss my hugging. You're gonna miss my kissing.
You miss your voice, too.
You're gonna miss me, honey, when I'm far away. That I feel so lonely. For you only. Cause you know, honey, you've had your way. And when you leave me, you know it's gonna grieve me. Gonna miss your big fat mama, your mama. I'm a these days.
Glad we had a chance to hear the ending on that. 1910, the Ziegfeld Follies featured two remarkably funny people, Fanny Bryce, 1891-1951, and Burt Williams, 1874-1922. This particular section is dedicated to Allen Deavis. Williams sang his ambling signature tune, Nobody, in almost every stage appearance for Ziegfeld in the following decade. Nobody was recorded by Columbia several times, three times, once for a cylinder, once for an early disc, about 1906. And then I think he did one, well, of course he did one January 13th, 1913. I believe we've got the later one, and we also got that early one, which is on a dub from Milford Fargo up in Rochester. And I'm sorry that Milford isn't here. He would have enjoyed this section. Okay, I think we've got some tag-end visuals on Sophie Tucker. We might as well look at them. I don't know how to speed ahead and do it adroitly. I'm liable to speed ahead and lose half the show. Well, I suppose I can fill us up with song and dance, but everybody else can do that a lot better than I can. And here we go. Here's old Bert.
When life seems full of clouds and rain.
This is a marvelously rare piece of sheet music.
Full of nothing and pain. Who soothes my thumping, bumping brain?
Nobody.
When winter comes. With snow and sleet, and me with hunger.
The 4 mil hiss we're hearing.
And cold feet.
Ray.
Well, yeah, and if I
fail to get hiss,
you,
right?
You'll have something to eat gone. Nobody.
There's the famous chicken costume.
No, he never done nothing to no home.
There's that sheet music, Desdemona. Alan, where are you? There you are. Just that piece of sheet music I was mentioning to you. A beautifully sharp and clear 3x3-inch picture of Williams and Walker down there. They were inseparable, it looks like. Photograph from the Goldie Clow collection. Courtesy Xerox. Yeah, there's three different takes. He plays with the trombone a lot in some of those different takes. A lot more fun than that. That's that woman that I mentioned. Wonder if he had done anything with her or mentioned. Okay, The Follies of 17 was made special for Ziegfeld and his new wife, Millie Burke, by the birth of their only child, Florence Patricia, in that year. The 1917 Follies also introduced Eddie Cantor and starred Burt Williams and Will Rogers. Will Rogers, the cowboy humorist, whose suggestions to traffic cops Victor recorded a few years later. The visitors you're going to see are probably seen for the first time anywhere because they are from very early white studio proofs, which were part of a collection that they were recently given.
Mr. Toastmaster, traffic chiefs from all over the world.
This is a timeless excerpt.
What is left of a vanishing race, and that is the pedestrian. Now, while you birds have been directing traffic in all of our big cities, I know more about it than the whole mess of you do. Yeah. I've been dodging it. Why, you even have to towers built up in the air so you won't get run over yourself. That I am able to be here tonight is not any thanks to you. I owe it to a keen eye and a nimble pair of legs. But I know they'll get me someday. I'm not as young as I used to be, and they're missing me closer every day. Just yesterday, I had to run in a store and shut the door in the driver's face to keep him from getting me. Another chased me into a building, and I hopped into an elevator. That's all that saved me. Now, in my younger days, I could have stayed on the sidewalk and dodged these fellas barely. Taxicab drivers nowadays are the same fellas who run the submarines during the war. They duck down and they don't come up for 3 or 4 blocks. Some towns have the streets all marked off with white lines. It's a sort of a game. If the fella running the car hits you while you're inside those white lines, it don't count. You've got to come back and run over you again. Mm. Before we had traffic officers, there was not near as many people killed outright as there is now.
You've got 80 cameras.
But there was more hurt,
Will Rogers,
which proves
WC Fields down on the corner.
A traffic officer to properly direct you, the driver can finish his victim where, in the old days, he could only hurt him. So, I think your association can well report progress. Prohibition has helped the pedestrian a little, as the drivers are afraid to run over just anybody. It might be a bootlegger, and they would get the tires all cut up. Here are a
this
few
is KDKA in Pittsburgh, one of the
adopt.
First broadcasts
Eliminate
with Rogers recording,
all right
or Rogers
and left
doing
hand
the broadcasting.
Make everybody go straight ahead. Rule two, eliminate all streetcars from the street.
The
they only
Ziegfeld
get in people's way who are in a hurry walking home. Third, to speed up traffic, have a man hired by the city in each block to do nothing but crank, stall, forward cars.
It's amazing to note that his humor is still effective. The 1920 Follies was loaded with songs like, and great songs too, like Tell Me Little Gypsy, which John Steele, Ziegfeld's favorite but somewhat enigmatic tenor, recorded for Victor the same year. And let's, let's take a look at it. I think we've got one photograph of John Steele which we found in the archives. It was a marquee photograph used outside of one of the theaters, not the Ziegfeld theaters, but somebody else. We've assembled a bunch of large shots from the White Studios showing what some of the productions look like. Quite elaborate, many of which were designed by Joseph Urban. He was definitely not designed by Joseph Urban, but it was a good job. This photograph hung in Ziegfeld's personal office right behind his desk. We'll see a shot of that shortly. John Steele called the McCormick of Review. Splendid technique. You can whistle if you want, or even hum. Next time I present this, I'm going to have the original color sketches that Urban produced for many of the Follies productions. They're in a collection at Columbia University, my alma mater. And try to have them next time. Right, Pete? Ziegfeld certainly had an eye for the beautiful woman, that's for sure. Classic today. You do that a little louder, you can catch it on the tape, and you really have a mental room. Albertino Rash Girls, I believe.
Shining
Splendid. Bannon Schenck, the comedy duo, also sang the catchy marimba in the 1920 Follies. And they, of course, recorded it for Columbia, dividing their time between Victor and Columbia as a standard operation procedure. 1920. That's a countertenor, isn't it? Not a castrati, was it? I don't think so. I'm still learning about those things. I don't.
I got all excited when her eyes invited Captain Internet. I blew her through a cigarette.
Something about having an accident when you're young. I'm not sure. Okay. Well, we'll let that go. At the same time, the Follies of 1920 was packing them, and Ziegfeld opened his musical Sally. And that was at the New Amsterdam Theater, and it starred Marilyn Miller and Leon Errol, a piece of sheet music we dredged up here. Now, Joe Smith, very ringing name in, of course, recording annuals, you pick it out immediately. His orchestra recorded it for Victor, Sally Melodies. The number for you buffs was 35706. So run out and get a copy of that. Sally was one of Ziegfeld's most successful productions and earned him well over $2 million. That would be about $50 million today, of course. The show was dedicated to Olive Thomas, one of Ziegfeld's favorites, who died mysteriously in Paris. She had married Jack Pickford, Mary Pickford's brother, and he was a no good, and that's another whole story. But an extraordinary footnote. In 1952, a workman at the New Amsterdam Theater was recovering seats in a dressing room that had been converted to a workshop up on about the third level on the side. And as he was working, he looked up and he noticed a beautiful girl standing in the doorway. She was wearing a white dress with a gold sash across it, and Olive was written across it. And this workman, his name was Irving Kahn, who might talk to, asked her, "What are you doing here?" And the girl said, "Nothing." She just smiled, leaned up against the door frame, and she's holding a blue bottle in one hand and a glass in the other. And she turned and ran up a flight of stairs, down the hall and up a little flight of stairs, and disappeared. 2 weeks later, he saw her again. And this time he was really puzzled, and he told one of his older fellow workers about it, and he really got upset because he had described Olive Thomas, with whom he had worked years before, and of course who had died some 30 years before. And some weeks later, old photographs of Folly stars turned up in there, and the stage group was Olive wearing a white dress and a gold sash with her name printed on it. Lots of theatrical ghost stories like that, right, Pete? Not with a bottle? Without the blue bottle, huh? They suspicioned that she was trying to tell somebody something, or somebody was thinking she was trying to tell something about the poison she was supposed to have taken. Who knows? Truncate some of this if we can and just speak right over the pieces. I would like to at this moment thank Wilford Graham for his help in catching up on some of the John Steele information and giving us a special little Victor supplement, I think, of 1920 something. John Steele rehearsing with Maestro Pasternak. Some of the other things that I would like to bring to your memory banks, of course, are the many of the Burt Williams Columbia recordings were taken right out of the Follies, such as Darktown Poker Club, which came from 1917 Follies. Francis White recorded Gozinta, a very charming little song. That came out of Midnight Follies, which, of course, as you know, was held after the regular Ziegfeld Follies downstairs. They held this little private entree soiree up on the top theater. John Steele did The Girl of My Dreams and a bunch of others from the 1920 thing. Rogers did Henry Ford for President. Fanny Bryce did Secondhand Rose and so on. Ruth Etting did some really fine things like Shaking the Blues Away, which still sung today. In the Follies of 1921, Fanny Bryce sang the international hit song My Man. And, of course, was imported from France, where Miss Tinguette had made it a large success. Now, the Follies audience empathized with Bryce, who was having troubles with her man at the time, Nicky Arnstein. So in November 8th, 1921, in Camden, New Jersey, she went all the way down to Jersey for this, recorded My Man, which won't come up yet for another 42 minutes, probably. I'll mention that also that Gallagher and Sheehan were featured in the Ziegfeld Follies. That was in 1922. It was the longest running show of any Follies, and they recorded, of course, Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Sheehan for Victor. It is the only recording made of the team commercially. Very fast paced in the style of Weber and Fields, very fast. I might say that these visuals were recorded and made for television viewing, some of which didn't get on the air because of the overlap of the different reels. What we've got is just some visuals put down here to cover some of those things for that program. In 1928, Ziegfeld produced The Three Musketeers with music by Rudolf Frimmel and a book by P.G. Wodehouse, who I think penned some of the greatest words about growing old. He says, if you're going to grow old, you might as well grow as old as you can. And I think that's a marvelous statement. So those of you who are senior citizens here, keep on to getting old, folks. When you consider the alternative...
That was Maurice Chevalier's line.
Well, that's all right. He can have it too. I don't mind. I'll steal anybody's line. Note the delicate use of portamento. The shaded scoop. The glottal stop. Victor High Fidelity recording.
Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just a spell, but I don't care when he takes me in his arms. The world is right, all right. And what's the difference?
These are, of course, very early Follies shots, probably. Only the masters exist because many of the white studio negatives were done on glass. And of course, you know how badly decomposed they get very quickly on. Some of the things we have here in processing them are better than the originals. That's the famous doorway pose that B.B. Snooks used in a lot of her later publicity. Howard. This is Whoopi with Eddie Cantor. Can I skip a page? Okay, this went into production in Pittsburgh in 1928. Ziegfeld in his 61st year, and Eddie Cantor's Time to Shine along with Ruth Etting and the beautiful Gladys Glad. Music by Walter Donaldson, lyrics Gus Kahn. The Smithsonian recently put out something on this, and they did something that couldn't have been done at the time, because Ruth Etting had an exclusive contract with Columbia, Cantor, an exclusive contract with Victor. So slicing these together was only able to be done much later.
A lot of shoes, a lot of rice, the groom is nervous, he answers twice, it's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee.
Okay. In 1929, Schnitfeld staged his most successful important musical comedy, Showboat, opened at the Ziegfeld Theater on September 3rd. It starred Helen Morgan, Jules Bledsoe. This is not Jules Bledsoe, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. Definitely not Helen Morgan, I can tell you that. This is Paul Robeson, and he took over the touring tasks, and of course also appeared in the London production. And of course he's also in the two movies, I believe. Two earliest movies. This is the Whiteman recording, because it's the earliest, closest to the voice that he had at that time. Norma Terrace, I believe, was the original Julie. No, that was Morgan. She did the ingenue lead, whichever that was.
I get weary and sick of crying. I'm tired of living and fear of dying. But old man.
Bring it down a little bit. That concludes my presentation of Ziegfeld Stars. It certainly isn't inclusive because we could go on for another couple of hours. And you probably have special things that you love and wonder, why didn't he do this one and why did he do that one? Well, I probably don't have the recordings. I'd be happy to have dubs anytime you want to send some over. So. And I really feel badly that I have to catch a plane to Chicago, because I'm sure there's a 4,000 other records I could probably get dubs from people here. So, till next time, I want to thank you so much. Thank you much.
You've had your way, and when you leave me, you know it's gonna grieve me. Gonna miss your big fat mom, your mom. Some of these days, two sweethearts coded happily for quite a while.
Okay, that sounds like the Decca. I think we heard the earlier one was the Columbia, which has got to be one of the greatest recordings. My parents saw Sophie Tucker at a nightclub down in Florida in the winter of 53-54. Was the beginning of the 3D craze. And she handed out, or they had out on the table, three official Sophie Tucker 3D glasses. Now, what they had slits cut into it so you can see through it, but one side was printed red and the other side was printed blue, but you would just see through it. It was just a gag that she had on that. Has anybody ever seen a copy of her autobiography that's not autographed? Every copy, I've seen at least 9 copies with her autograph on it. I think the unautographed ones are rarer than the autograph ones.
I don't have either one of them. But somebody wants to send one out.
I saw her when I was a graduate student. She was playing a nightclub in Boston, and in between shows, she'd spend all the time out in the lobby autographing and selling copies of her latest Mercury records.
I've seen some of the Mercury's autographed. I've seen some of the later Decca's autographed as well, with the largest handwriting of anybody I've ever seen. I haven't heard about that. Westwood recording out in the West
Coast. They're Columbia's.
Where to get the man? Whether he? I think what you're asking is whether he leased those masters or not, right? Yeah. No, I'm not.
There's a company called Sub Rosa, I think.
And there is a recording of Jules Bledsoe doing Old Man River from a 1933 broadcast.
Is there? Oh,
yes.
Terrific. Love to have a copy.
Yeah. I have a tape of it, but Les Woffen has it down at the National Archives. It was from the Amalgamated Broadcasting System.
But you're easier, Mike. You're much easier.
Now, I understand he also did it for Variety, or Varsity, rather, in around 1940.
Probably harder than
that. Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's see. We're next. Okay, I do see Jerry is here. Generally speaking, for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, we have had sessions on the program, which are called the AAA sessions.